So, as before, can we just take a sense of how many people feel that they may have a question about this practice or things like that? Yeah. Great. Really lovely. I wonder if it would be confusing to do it, but if somebody asks a question that feels very close to your question, maybe you can kind of wave as it's happening, and maybe we can just check, is there like something you want to add to make it clear? And then that might kind of get us to like a shorter list of questions. We could try that. It may not work. If it doesn't work, we'll give up on it. But is there anyone who hasn't asked a question in the hall already? Yeah. Would you like to start, please? Okay, great. Because I'm going to repeat the question, also I've just kind of put it back there. So the question here is that, you know, I feel like I'm getting it as a practice, and it's kind of something's happening here, and I'm kind of feeling that's helpful. But also quite a strong feeling, and I expect this is you're not alone. I also share it. Is that it doesn't feel that this would be so good out into the world where I need to make decisions, live my life, have interactions, and just like doing this kind of practice would be so useful. Yeah, that's kind of the broad thing. So yeah, and I did say, as you reflected, don't think that everything we do in this meditation hall will be applicable to the whole of our life, right? In many ways, and I don't know if the Buddha ever says it, but my teachers have said it, and others have kind of said it, like, it would be stupid of us to live that way in the world, right? Because what's it going to do? You know, or even imagining we could live that way. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to have loving relationships, all of this kind of thing, you know, like meaningfulness is turning up at work or anything else that we want to do. So it's good on retreat. It's good intrapersonally, within oneself. It's not actually that good interpersonally, between beings, necessarily. Yeah, it might help certain aspects of a relationship at certain times. So it'd be wise to actually think, so what are skillful ways of perceiving and relating, conceiving, perceiving, relating to the world? It might be different than that. I would say it probably is different than that. For me, it's different than that. But here, what we get to see is, like, looking this way, it actually disentangles my relationship to things that I very quickly latch onto, identify with, feel are essential, and I see, it wasn't essential. For something deeper. So that's a way of looking, a way of practicing that does that. So I know it's kind of expecting you to kind of put a placeholder for a good answer, but like it feels that right now let's focus on the practice here and what we can do here, and you know, placeholder, there will be something later said about ways of relating in the world. Does that feel Okay, so I'll just repeat the questions. Maybe I'll take this one and then I'll pass over to you, save mic swapping so much. So actually, they're connected, but they're different in a little way. So there's kind of like two elements, and actually might take them in reverse order. So there's one way is that I feel like I understand this conceptually, and when I'm listening to it, I resonate with it, and I kind of feel its potential. Maybe it's opening in that kind of way. And then when I apply it myself, something else maybe is getting in there, and it's actually impacting that way of looking. So I'm saying this is unsatisfactory. It doesn't contain satisfaction, dissatisfaction, but it feels more something like a bit flat in that kind of thing. The earlier question, which I'm now going to speak about second, was saying that in the Anicca ways, in the Vedana ways, it felt like something arose, and I saw different ways of relating to it, different ways of holding it, and then that kind of brought this kind of freedom. This feels like things are coming towards me, I'm holding this view, and then they're just disappearing, and then I'm in this kind of more like a void kind of space. Could be peaceful, could be empty of things, but it kind of feels like, so sure, it feels a bit life negating, kind of like life denying, kind of, it's not adding those kind of flavors. So because they kind of sounded similar, but I actually think maybe to relate to them slightly differently, but they may have kind of similar additional flavors. The state of our being that is saying this phrase, regarding this thing in this way, the amount of metta in that being quite impacts how things unfold for us there. So really, really, really want to make sure that this is not saying anything unpleasant about the thing. You do not contain satisfaction or dissatisfaction. Yeah, it sounds rude, right? It sounds unreasonable. It sounds weird. But we're not saying it in a way that has those flavors. Yeah, we're definitely... And there's no sense of disappointment that a thing does not contain satisfaction or dissatisfaction. Yeah. You know, we might hold it that way, and it might come through that way. And when it does come through that way, it impacts the practice. It impacts the range of the practice, because it can be a subtle, you know, I don't really feel comfortable saying this to you, but, you know, or you don't, what have you got? Why have you even bothered coming here? You don't contain that stuff, right? And it can have those subtle flavors. So it's like important that we combine this with samadhi or combine this with metta for two reasons. One, it creates the well-being where we don't have so much expectation and demand on things at all, right? I don't need you to bring more satisfaction. I'm actually feeling pretty good here, right? And I don't really want to believe that you are the source of all my woes, my troubles, my difficulties. And so I'm not going to relate to you that way. And then through that, there's this kind of fading of the unskillful ways of relating, the push, the pull, you know, the things that cause dukkha, and the Four Noble Truths, right? All of that stuff, that fades down, and we have less dukkha. What opens up in its place really depends. If there was a lot of like equanimity, this kind of more of that in-between Vedana kind of feeling in the being, like just a very kind of subtle presence kind of state, it might become very, very blank, right? And so that kind of outcome from the practice, that's not a failure in the practice. It's like, oh, that's what kind of comes when I'm being very neutral about things in this way. And two things to say about it. One is, it's probably not unpleasant, right? It's probably just very neither nor. Right, and it's unfamiliar. It's like an unfamiliar outcome for us. It's like a place that we're just not used to being there. And when we think of it being empty or a void, it's kind of like a void of the void, kind of, you know, naturally. It's like, or this is unfamiliar. First impression is, nah, I don't like it. Because I don't like unfamiliar things. I don't like strangers, you know, I only like my family, and you know, I only like things I can get a grip on and things like that. And it's like, oh, this is a new space. I wonder what we can do here. I wonder what can happen here that can't happen in other spaces. I wonder what's going on here. I wonder if I can bring my kindness, my interest, my engagement with that. You know. And kind of just a second thing to say, and it may have come up for some of us, is like when we drop into a space that is more subtle than we're used to, attention has to become more subtle. Yeah, it's like walking into a dark room without your glasses and without turning the light on. It takes some time before you start to see stuff in there and have a sense of just how big that space is, actually. If there's actually more detail in there than we at first come in, we just might come in, say there's nothing here, and walk out before the eyes adjust. You know, so it's something similar there. I hope that kind of speaks to the two things. So lots of conditions come together with that. Okay, I'm going to pass this on. I think we didn't hear from... Is it Guy?
Kind of, I want to say something general, which is, I'm going to repeat, yeah, but this is a general before I repeat, is just to say sometimes we can see the power of a teaching and the power of our practice in the questions that arise. And I think we can already really feel it in the hall now. Yeah. So sometimes the questions, are much more powerful than the answers. So just to say that, and I think we could really feel it already in what's arisen. So this question, since we've been practicing different ways of looking, ways of relating, and are those ways of relating also unsatisfactory? And if they are, then why are we practicing them? Is that a good synopsis? Yeah. Yeah, great. So, yeah, we can see the delicacy here. And the delicacy that was already touched on in the previous questions. In one way, we're not ultimately necessarily saying that things are one way or the other. We're looking at them in that way. And we're also, as we were already saying yesterday with the Anicca practice, we are intelligent and wise, or at least aiming to be, in when we turn a certain way of looking onto a certain experience. Yeah? Is this the right time? Yeah. So in a way, we're practicing everything that we're doing in practice, including the ways of looking that we're cultivating and the ways of looking that we are letting go of, is in the service of what brings more well-being and what decreases dukkha. Yeah, that's the service. Yeah. And so we can say we are learning ways of looking that are also unsatisfactory in the fact that they too are empty, they too are conditioned, yeah? They too do not have satisfaction from their own side, but what they are doing is they are they bring more well-being and they decrease dukkha. So we're cultivating them rather than continuing to cultivate ways of looking that build more dukkha. Yeah? So it's like we can see the whole process as decreasing dukkha. At some point in our practice, yeah, we can begin to turn the ways of looking onto the release and the relief itself. Yeah, at some point, and the way of looking itself. Yeah, but that is, for most of us, quite a long way down the line. When we're both much more familiar with the practices, and we have more confidence in the practices, and we have more resource and more generally well-being. So it's you know, so there is a range. You know, we say there's no hierarchy in the practices, but there is a sense of what ways of looking create more dukkha, which ones create less, and we really want to cultivate, to develop the ones that bring less. Yeah. Does that respond to your question? Yeah, great. And I just wanted to say, is it Sharon? What's your name? That also in your question, you said at some point that this feels like it, this way of looking kind of impacts the process of construction earlier. So that's interesting to notice for ourselves when that happens with a particular way of looking. Yeah, in some ways of looking, and this can be also individual. Yeah, like some practice, the experience is more built up, and then we look in that way, and it defabricates or deconstructs to a certain way. And then others, you know, it's like almost before the appearance even completely is created, it, yeah, the way of looking just stops that process of fabrication, of building up. So just to, I just wanted to reflect that back from what you said. Okay, let's try people who have not asked a question in the hall yet. So pretty sure you haven't, right? And then after that, then you're in the back there. There was also someone here. Okay, great. So 1, 2, 3, fingers crossed. אני אחזור לשאלה. ראייה מאוד בהירה שחלק ממה שקורה בתרגול זה איזושהי הסתכלות על התהליך שקורה בתרגול וגם תמלול שלו, כן? דרך מחשבות. ואז התחושה לפעמים בסוף פרק זמן של תרגול שככה הייתה נוכחות דרך ההסתכלות על, אבל לא הייתה תחושה של נוכחות בתוך החוויה, וזה מאוד בולט בתרגול מטה, שלפעמים יש תחושה של המילים והפרקטיקה של התרגול, אבל פחות התחושה. אז אם נתמקד בתרגול מטה, בתור דוגמה, שאת שאמרתי את זה בתרגול הראשון, זה מה שאנחנו צריכות לשוב ולהיזכר, מאוד אם אפשרי לנו להשתמש בגוף. אז באמת הנטייה שלנו, והיא לא בהכרח נטייה, זה לא בהכרח משהו לא מועיל, או לא מיטיב מה שקורה, עם ההסתכלות מעל ואז התמלול של החוויה, והנטייה שלנו היא שהמוקד, או שרוב תשומת הלב שם, אני עושה ככה, וחלק ממה שאנחנו לומדות ולומדים בתרגול, זה להביא את הנוכחות יותר אל תוך מרחב הגוף, גם ברמה הפיזית וגם ברמה יותר מודנית. אני תכנס לזה, קורא לזה לפעמים האנרג'טיקס, קוראות לזה לפעמים הגוף האנרגטי. זאת אומרת, הרובד היותר מעודן של החוויה שלנו, שאנחנו חשות דרך הגוף כמו תחושת בטן, אבל הוא לאו דווקא פיזיולוגי. אז באופן מכוון לעשות את זה, ועם תרגול מטה זה מאוד קורה בגלל השימוש במילים ובמשפטים, זה עוד יותר עובר לכאן. אנחנו מאבדות את החוויה כאן. אז הייתי מציעה, דבר ראשון זה להעט את הקצב, של המשפטים, וממש לבסס את הנוכחות בגוף ואם אפשר במרחב של כל הגוף, אם המרחב של כל הגוף מרגיש יותר מדי אמורפי, אז באזור של בטן חזה, שרובנו, שם אנחנו מתחברות לתחושות, ומשם לתת למשפטים, כאילו את זורקת את המשפט אל תוך גוף מים, כן? נותנת לו לנחות ולהדהד בתוך המרחב הזה, להרגיש אותו, ואפשר גם להחזיק את הדמות, בין אם זה את התחושה של עצמנו, או את הדמות שאליה אנחנו, דמות אחרת שאנחנו מפנות אליה, מתה, להחזיק אותה ויזואלית במרחב הזה של המודעות, בגוף במקום, נגיד כאן. כן, כאילו לקרב אותה או להרגיש אותה תחושתית יותר בפנים. ולהביא לכל המהלך הזה משהו שהוא מסתקרן, כן. הסתבכתי בעצמי. משהו סקרן. סקרני, סקרנית. ומתעניין ומוכן לשחק. כן? ולא במקום שמנסה להיאבק בנטייה הזאת. שיש לה גם ערך. אוקיי, איך אני עושה את זה? והייתי בעיקר מתחילה מתרגול מטה, גם כי אמרת שהוא מוכר, וגם בגלל ששם זה קורה באופן שאת מאוד מאוד מתחברת אליו. בשמחה. אז בואו, כן.
You know, there's something really lovely in these teachings and practices that, you know, it's a really important that, like Zara was saying, you know, opening these questions and realizing, well, that question's just arisen in me for some reason. It's like, is it out of, am I concerned that, like, this is, could be a way of looking that might damage my relationships? Or is it actually kind of coming out of this place? Is like, might this even kind of open and enrich and make even more beautiful my relationship by actually saying, I'm not even demanding of satisfaction from you, you know, and it's like, what would that mean? Would I still be in relationship with you, or would it actually then not have any purpose? Is it actually that's what I'm doing? I'm with you because you can give me satisfaction, or is it actually opening something different? So sorry, I didn't repeat the question. So that kind of question that you were bringing is to reflect, like, could I bring this to my beloved beings in my life? You know, would it be skillful to say, you know, you are unsatisfactory? Would it be skillful to bring that towards myself, to say to myself, you know, I'm unsatisfactory? So what would that mean? Does it, it's like, well, let's try it. When we're in the right place, in the right time, and just open to that and see if that's going to be helpful. Yeah, so yeah, if it feels right, you can try it, see what it'll do there. So was that both parts of the question in a sense, or? And perfect. Yeah, so then there's also this way of looking that, you know, nothing is complete, nothing is perfect. So as long as we're, again, remembering really clear, I'm going to look at it this way, as if it is not complete, as if it is not perfect, and see what unfolds, right? So it's this kind of practice of holding a conviction of a view, and staying with it. And so while we're doing it, it's like we're an actor. You know, it's no good that that actor is kind of like, you know, I'm just pretending. And then, you know, they do their bit. It's like, no, they're really embodying, I am that person. You know, I am that historical person. Or I am this character. And we play it for real. And then we come out of it. It's like, okay, so what happened when I was playing it that way? How did I become? What unfolded? What narrative came through? What way of seeing the world? What interplay of myself, perceptions, world, and all of that come through? So, yeah. Could be an interesting way of holding that. It's kind of like different dimensions to this. If it's unsatisfactory, what does that mean? And we're exploring those areas. Yeah, lovely. No, it's related. Yeah, I think it's related, and it's a dimension of that we're relating. But just making, I just wanted to underscore that we're playing, you know, and that kind of acting thing maybe is a good metaphor for that kind of state that we're in, that we're not kind of, you know, I'm just playing, saying you're unsatisfactory. It's like, it's just a game we've been told to do. It's like, no, I really mean it. I'm going to see you that way. I'm going to hold you that way. I'm going to fully embed myself in that character, like a method actor or something, you know. And then I reflect, so what's happening relating this way? So it's this kind of like a metacognitive awareness of like, ah, I did it this way and it's unfolding this way. And then I come back into my role, my character, and I play that part again. I have that capacity to notice, okay, what's happening now? Thank you. Is that something? Should we? Yeah, so it's just started to rain, so it's a really good time to do some walking practice, because then you'll know that it's unsatisfactory. And yeah, that's actually really something we can play with. But making sure that when we do this practice, we play with it towards things which are delightful and things which are challenging and things which are neither nor. They're all unsatisfactory, yeah, all worthy of seeing that way. So it's 11 o'clock. We have about half an hour until the next silent stillness setting. Yeah, yeah, we'll stay and answer the remaining questions and all of that. And Zara wants to add something, I think, to append something to this response. But if you feel like you want to have enough time for walking, feel free to head out. Thank you.
So I'm just going to check if this works. Doesn't sound like it. And now? Still not?
Yeah,
yes.
No, yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to add a light touch. I think just to what I heard from your question was also seeing the potential in seeing this way, seeing people that we love and ourselves in this way. And we can kind of also question, you know, see that and see what drops away. And what drops away is a sense of demand, which can bring so much dukkha in our relationship to ourselves and the relationships with others. I need you to be like this. I need you to give something to me. Yeah. So it's just an interesting reflection. And that's what I heard in that. And I just wanted to reflect that back. Great. Shoshana, we'll come to you. I think we had a question here first, and then we'll go to Shoshana. אז שתי שאלות. הראשונה על התחושה שיש יש איזה ניגוד בין תרגול סמאדי, שזה תרגול שמדגיש מאוד את הרווחה ואת המרחב, לבין התרגול הזה. ומה שקרה בחוויה היה שהעוגן של התרגול, בעצם את עשית תרגול סמאדי, ואז העוגן של התרגול היה המרחב הנעים, וכשהבאת את ההסתכלות של unsatisfactory, זה לא מכיל סיפוק ולא מכיל חוסר סיפוק, אז זה, הסמאדי התפרק, אבל מה שנשאר זה מין בליל כזה. כן, אז כאילו לא הביא לעוד רווחה. אז אני אתייחס לשאלה הזאת, ואז אני אתייחס לשאלה השנייה. אז הבחנה מאוד מאוד טובה, וזה חוזר קצת לשאלה של גיא תמר מקודם, של מתי הזמן הנכון. אז אני הייתי מציעה לעשות הבחנה, ואולי זה לא היה מספיק ברור במה שאמרנו, מתי אני מתרגלת תרגול של סמאדי ושל רווחה, ומתי אני מתרגלת תרגול תובנה, ולא לנסות לעשות את שניהם באותו זמן. וזה קשה, כי אם יש מומנטום לתרגול סמאדי, אז באופן טבעי, כשאת מביאה תשומת לב למטה או לנשימה, זה ילך לשם. אבל להישאר, אפשר לעשות את זה אז אם נשאר נגיד באחת מדלתות החושים, ולהביא אליה את ההסתכלות, דרך ההסתכלות של, גם של הניצ'ה, גם של ודנה, גם של, גם הדרך ההסתכלות היום של ה-unsatisfactory. והם כולן יפרקו את החוויה של הסמאדי, כן? אבל בגלל שמה שאני שומעת גם, שיכול להיות שבגלל שהדרך ההסתכלות הזאת יש בה יותר עוצמה, אז היא מפרקת את זה יותר ובאופן יותר בולט. אז זה מה שקורה בחוויה שלך. אז הייתי מציעה, אם את רוצה לתרגל את הדרך הזאת, ולפעמים יכולה להיות גם בחירה שעכשיו, אם התרגול סמאדי מאוד עובד, אני רוצה להתמיד בו כרגע, ואני מניחה את התרגולי תובנה, זה גם אופציה, ואני מתמקדת בו, או הבחנה של מתי אני עושה את זה ומתי אני עושה את זה. אז לא לתרגל מטה יחד עם דרכי הסתכלות אחרות, לא לתרגל סמאדי מובהק באופן הזה יחד עם, אלא גם וגם זה אומר בזמנים שונים. זה עונה לך על השאלה הזאת? כן, אז זה לא באותו זמן. Not at the same time. That was the confusion. Not to do samadhi practice at the same time, but do enough samadhi practice in your day so that this is cushioning. And he responded before to a question and said, like, make sure there's enough metta and samadhi in the system. Yeah. So it's easier to see with the kindness to bring... סליחה, עברתי לאנגלית. להביא איכות של מטה למפגש עם החוויה, אבל לאו דווקא לטפח את האיכות, לאו דווקא לתרגל תרגול טיפוח של מטה באותו רגע, או תרגול סמאדי באותו רגע, אלא עוגן אחר. Does that make sense? Not to do them at the same time? Or where you say to do them at the same time? You want this back? Yeah, you use the bad mic, it'll probably be good for you.
So to answer the question, it's almost like we actually need to kind of set up a few kind of definitions of like what's going on in samadhi practice, what's going on in these insight practices. So they're both encouraging our experience to move into a more subtler space. Yeah. In the samadhi practice, it's like it. What is primary is that felt sense of the body, and particularly the body as its kind of energetic expression. Like aside from its physicality, it's not like this bit's achy and this bit's blocked and this is from that injury, but it's more like the energetic flow of the body. And we kind of feel that totality becoming more something we can experience in the samadhi. And that's what we're attuned to. And then from that, we're attuning deeper and deeper into a sense of how well-being expresses itself, and well-being being kind of the opposite of dukkha, dukkha being ill-being, that feeling of not being well within oneself. Yeah, and so that kind of direction and the direction of samadhi deepens by paying attention to those ever more subtle expressions of well-being. Like we said, from excitement to happiness to contentment to peacefulness to stillness, that deepening of samadhi through those types of happiness. In the ways of looking, we're just suggesting, oh, there's probably an underlying conception here that is actually causing me to perceive the way in this world, and kind of like working through that kind of process, that insight practice. They're going to lead to the same place, right? When that practice unfolds for us, it might have introduced us into a state of samadhi. It might have been unfamiliar, like we spoke about, and it's like, oh, there's just nothing here, because it's gotten perhaps too subtle for the attention level, or perhaps because particular ingredients were also existing there in the energetics. So the outcome of that practice might then really just feel like a samadhi practice, and then things arise and I just drop in occasionally. This is unsatisfactory, and then I just sink into, sustain myself in that energetic feeling of well-being in that experience. Yeah. So it's like there's a lot of overlap. So our definitions, they're overlapping in a way. But what's different is the intention in the practice. The intention in the practice of the ways of looking is to like drop in that kind of very subtle thing, the conception, even if we didn't know if we took it up already and we were really projecting satisfaction onto this thing, or really projecting constancy onto this thing, or really believing the Vedana about this thing. We're just going to say, I don't believe it. I think it's this way. I think it's more open than that. You know, I think it's unsatisfactory. I think it's inconstant. And that's an insightful way of looking. So I hope that kind of clarifies what's going on there.
אז בעצם כאילו הוא דיבר על סמאדי שעולה מתוך התרגול תובנה, לעומת לעשות תרגול סמאדי ואז להביא אליו את התרגול תובנה. וההבדל הוא שאם זה עולה מתוך התרגול תובנה, אז זה כבר באיזושהי הלימה אחד עם השני, ולהביא את התרגול תובנה, להביא את התרגול הזה אל חוויה של סמאדי, כאילו על ההתחלה שאת מכירה את התרגול, זה מבלבל. וגם באמת העניין של הכוונה של איזה תרגול אני עושה עכשיו. אז הייתי אומרת, יכול להיות, האינטואיציה שלי אומרת, ממה שאני, איך אני מרגישה אותך, תהיה בעיקר עם תרגול סמאדי כרגע, אבל זה תלוי בך. ואם את רוצה לעשות את התרגול, תרגולי תובנה, אז לא לעשות אותם על האיכות של הסמאדי, אלא דרך עוגנים אחרים או דרך דלתות החושים. כן, לבחור חוש אחד, שמיעה, תחושה, ראייה עם עיניים פתוחות ולעבוד שם עם דרך ההסתכלות. זה ברור יותר? ואני חושבת שזה קצת עונה גם על השאלה השנייה, שנתייחס אליה, של אני עובדת על ליצור מרחב לעצמי ולקבל את עצמי ולקבל את החוויות שלי, ואז זה יכול להרגיש כמו איזשהו סוג של דחייה. כן? אז שוב, הבהירות של ההתכווננות, כן? מתי אני עושה תרגול שהוא יותר כמו תרגול מטה, כן? של מרחב לעצמי, ואז לשם אני לא מביאה את הדרך ההסתכלות הזאת, ומתי אני מתרגלת את התרגול הזה, או תרגול תובנה דרך הסתכלות אחר, שבא ככה לראות איך אני באופן ישיר, כל התרגולים האלה משחררים את היחזות, כן? אבל שבאופן ישיר הולך ליחזות ומשחרר אותה. כן? אוקיי. Shoshana had a question. We still have so many questions. I don't know what we're going to do. Hope for the best. Mishen Kvutzot. Does anyone have a question doesn't have a group today? You don't have a group today? Okay. So maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially it's a fine way to practice it. There's, I don't want to be overly obsessive around language, particularly, you're speaking in English very kindly so that I can understand and we can communicate, and it's perhaps not, your best language. You could be even more refined. But there's just a subtle hearing in it of like, because this is actually how it is, right? And just making sure that when you're practicing it, it's like, I'm going to see that it is this way. I'm going to see that it this way, that it can't bring lasting satisfaction, and see what unfolds. Like, it's really like an experiment that we're really interested in. I'm going to add a few drops of this and see what happens from that. Not because, it has got these drops in it and that's how it really is. You know, it's like, when I see it this way, and it unfolds this way. But also, I think what Zohar was saying to Guy Tamar earlier in the session is also, find the right time to turn it on the practice itself. It might be right to say that this practice is unsatisfactory, and because it can only bring whatever results. But exactly. And this is one of those interesting things. Like, where that might be true, is it actually useful to see it that way? Because we might limit its capacity to go for even more radical change by applying that. So it's almost like what you're doing is actually still doing the practice on the practice, right? And so you're going to end up with this place where it's like, well, what's the practice? Is it, because it's actually the practice itself that's even doing that to itself. It's like the snake eating its own tail kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine, and it should feel fine, and all of that. But yeah, I'm just letting you know, like, I can hear that, and just like seeing that that's also there in the field. I'm not telling you what you shouldn't do, and also I'm not saying that it won't feel good to do that. Neither of those things is what I'm saying. It's just that we're still actually doing that practice. Yeah. Shoshana, would you like to? So the question there is like, is the outcome of this practice to actually say that, because exterior things can't bring satisfaction, peace only comes from within, we should just accept and change our way of living and expectations and interactions and all of that. So essentially one way of holding it could be to say, let's say as if there is no satisfaction in things from their own side, as if peace comes from within. Then, what is our role? What is the outcome of that way of practicing for us? Now, the conclusion might be acceptance. It might actually be, just this. Let's just change our underlying conception of experience, which may or may not actually be acceptance. But it's actually some way of reducing demand, even beneath the power of something like acceptance. Right, so we don't want to overly simplify the practice outcome as being it's just about acceptance, because in a way we're actually not accepting something. Right, we're not accepting that we tend to project satisfaction and dissatisfaction onto things. Right, so it's actually a little bit like we're saying with this kind of snake eating its tail. It's like it is going to turn beyond even acceptance. Right. So just kind of allowing for that thing, it's like it could go even further than this. And our mind kind of wants to tend to make a sense out of something. And we have to actually resist that temptation to make sense. Yeah? While also being able to communicate and actually have clarity about what we're doing as a practice. So I know that what I'm saying is kind of encouraging you not to fully be able to understand what it is that we're doing. Yeah, but in a way, it's to say, try this, look at it this way. This does not contain satisfaction. That's the entirety of the practice. What is appearing now, habitually, I will project onto it that it is either the solution or the problem. But it does not contain that from its own side. I'm going to let go of that projection and see what unfolds. See what's released in that space. Yeah, so it feels to me like we're talking on kind of slightly different levels. And in a way, what I would say is it's not about how things really are. It's just not about how things really are. So it's not about saying, well, nothing out there could bring me satisfaction. Right? We could say what we're training ourselves in the skill of perceiving in different ways. And it might be skillful for us at times to choose to adopt a perception. The things out there are already perfect as they are, and they're already satisfying me fully, right? But what we're training ourselves in is the skill of different ways of perceiving. And this is a particular way of perceiving that the Buddha suggests, is to regard things as if, you know, they do not contain satisfaction. They also do not contain dissatisfaction. And then what unfolds from there is, and get a sense for it, that it's probably freeing. When we're fully able to do that. Otherwise, the Buddha would not have offered it, because he only offered teachings which bring freedom. So is it something in my conception? Is it something that I'm not happy with? Is it something, something, something? Let's see if we can see that way, right? So it's an invitation to a way of perceiving. It's not, this is the way things really are. And that can be the another sticking point in the understanding. Everything is conditioned, so a conditioned response would be it's maybe conditioned by all kinds of things, and you know, if I start listing them, we'll be here all day, but it's something to watch out for, like our habitual ways of reacting are the kind of conditionings that we're looking for, and we're looking for more creative, more wholesome ways of responding. Yeah, and those are less conditioned. Thank you everyone for your patience and your practice and your creativity and good hearts. And we've got 0 minutes until the next meditation. If you want to have some walking, you've got no time in which to do it, if you wish to also attend the sitting, but see for yourself.